you're tuned into Women's Magazine on KPFA. I'm Tara Darabji. We're joined in studio by Oakland-based author Renee Swindle. Renee is the author of Please, Please, Please. It's an Essence magazine bestseller, and her latest novel, Shake Down the Stars, was just released on August 6th. Shake Down the Stars is set in Oakland and follows the life of Piper, a feisty woman who is burying her grief in alcohol and one-night stands. Renee Swindle, thanks so much for joining us on Women's Magazine.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
I'm so glad you could come in studio. And I just finished reading your novel, and there are so many things I really enjoyed about reading Shake Down the Stars. There's some really slick, smooth prose, and I was just cracking up a lot. And of course, love that it's set in Oakland. And the woman at the center, Piper, I mean, even when she's really down and out, you have to love her. There's this sort of fierceness about it, her. Tell us more about Piper.
Oh, boy. She is. She's very strong, very set in her ways. She's also very, very sad, you know, of course, because she lost the child. She lost her child before the novel begins. So when it starts, she's dealing with this just tragic grief. And unfortunately, she's surrounded by a family who, instead of communicating about the loss, they tell her, oh, just pray. It's time you got over it. They, you know, they try to say it kindly, but it's basically like you really need to move on. And in a sense, she, because she's dealing with the loss through alcohol and, like you said, sleeping around and everything, in a sense, she is stuck. So that's what the novel sort of deals with. How do you get from such a tragic loss to hopefully finding love again, joy again, and that kind of thing? Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting because a lot of times I think as writers, you go for the pivotal moment of that huge blow up. So in this case, it would be the accident where her child died. And I thought it was really interesting that you set the novel, I think it's like 4 years or several years out from that. How did you make that decision to look at grief through that lens, or how did that story find you in that way?
You're a writer, right?
Of course.
It's such a writer question. It's a great question. And I'm like, God, how did I do that? Why did I set it off? I start novels with voice, and sort of I try to actually pinpoint myself into a problem area. I like to write myself out of problems. In a sense, I like to scare myself, force myself to do something, to try something different. So I knew I wanted to deal with, the question was, how do you get over, you don't necessarily get over, you know, tragic events, but how do people find joy again after a tragic event, say? And I started with that question. I didn't necessarily know what Piper's tragedy would be, but I started her off in a room, and I just wanted to hear her talk and be sad or be whatever, and it came to me not soon after that that's what she was dealing with, the loss of a child, yeah. And so I knew that it had already happened.
And there's this line from your novel, death highlights problems that existed all along. And I thought that was just, yeah, you wrote that.
You saw the look on my face. God, did I really write that?
Yes. It was a beautiful line. Death highlights problems that existed all along. Delve into that for us a little bit. Or just how do you see sort of Piper's life magnifying that? And others, I mean, I think that's sort of a universal experience for us all when we go through that grief.
Yeah, or a divorce or, yeah, something big like that. I think, I think it's like life coming on, the suffering that comes, and what's inside of you amplifies. So it's, I think, you know, Piper, I realized as I wrote the book that Piper didn't become an alcoholic because of her daughter's, the loss of her daughter. She was already having troubles. Piper didn't start to have problems with her family after the loss of her child. They were already having troubles. It's just, again, like that line that you just read, everything just amplifies. So I think we all sort of carry our own pain. Everything's already inside of us. And these little moments in life will make it come out, you know, or not. So, yeah. Yeah. I think it's already there. Mm-hmm. Certain emotions and all those things.
And in writing Shake Down the Stars, Piper, you know, she's dealing with a lot, as you say, the death of her child, her sort of sexuality and how she's expressing it, addiction, alcoholism, her relationship with her mom, which is really strained, her sister, who's a whole case.
Another book.
Yeah, this whole case. I mean, all these elements. Where was the place that was the hardest for you to go in terms of writing it? Where did you find yourself resisting the most?
I actually practice Buddhism, and one of the tenets, I guess you'd say, is you don't resist. You really look at, and when you look at, it's not as scary. It's the looking away from that actually causes the problem. You try to avoid, but looking at it and exploring it, actually, I don't know, you learn, you find that there is actually peace. So I there wasn't anything. My friend would always ask, don't you feel depressed? The story is actually funny, right?
Super funny.
Thank you. Say it again.
It was funny. I was cracking up.
I know, it sounds like so tragic, but she was asking, like, don't you feel depressed, you know, because Piper's so sad and everything. And yeah, but it was more like I really loved her. I was writing from a place of I didn't know how it was going to end myself. And I was like, God, come on, Piper. How are we going to figure this out? So I really love to write with actually humor as well. So sometimes it's like, man, the scene is getting slow. So I would add something, a surprise character or something. And I think that's the way life is, too. So I just looked at it like I'm curious. You know, why is she drinking so much? Does she always have this problem? And then I write that, you know. So there would be sad scenes, but I just wanted to actually explore who this woman is. So I kind of had a distance in that way.
And one of the things that I really thought you did well and was different than what I see in a lot of literature is sort of your her sexuality and how it came out on the page. And, you know, I mean, she's one of those that kind of starts out and she meets this guy and he's macking on her and she's finally like, all right, dude, you got it. You know, 20 minutes and then I don't know you anymore and go the other way. And so it was just, she was very, I mean, a lot of her sexual behavior was destructive, but there was also a sense of her being very in control of it for much of it. And I think that's something that when we look at women's sexuality, we don't get to see a lot of.
That's very true. That's true. I don't know if I wasn't, I have to give you credit for that. I wasn't thinking about that when I was writing it. But I guess that just ties in with the kind of woman she is. She's, you know, she's strong, ultimately. And I guess that's how her sexuality plays out. There's a writer actually interviewed for my blog, Ellen Sussman, and I read her book, and there's a lot of sex in it and everything. And I was like, wow, you actually go there. You know, in literature, no one has sex, you know? And she's like, that's how you explore your characters. And I realized it's true. How do your characters perform in bed? Yeah. That's just a lot. So I appreciate that comment, because I think that's what's going on with her.
And, I mean, obviously we can't talk about Piper without talking about the stars. There's a whole lot of stargazing and her connection with the universe through the stars. And was that something that is part of your interest in life, or did you do a lot of research around it?
Yeah, that one was selfish.
You're a stargazer?
I am horrible. And if any, I'm always afraid, like, some astronomer reads this book, they're going to be like, no way, that you can't see, you know, Pluto in August or whatever. So I just gave myself license with that. But yeah, I love to go. I don't go enough, but I love to go to the Chabot Observatory. And even before I knew about this Chabot Observatory, I've just always loved looking out at the stars at night and the sky. It just makes me feel both small, like, you know, we're just so teeny tiny, this one tiny planet, this huge, huge galaxy, and a huge, it's so crazy. But then it also makes me feel really big, like we're so special. So that was totally me making Piper like that.
Yeah. And it's her grounding throughout the story. Yeah. She looks up at the sky and kind of comes back down to Earth in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have a section to read for us from Shake Down the Stars.
Yeah, and so just to prove that the book is humorous, I thought I'd read one of the lighter sections. And I think you mentioned her first little meeting with the first guy she sort of, we find out what she's like.
Look at all your notes in there.
Look at how I scratched this book up. I destroyed it. I loved it. Like, woo, I could just cross stuff out. This is my copy.
I've never seen a markup quite like
I
that.
Know, if you guys could see it, it's just like scribbles, like a kid got a hold of it. I love it, though. It makes me calm. Okay, so at the start of the novel, she's at her sister's engagement party. She's hiding out from her family, and this is like two pages in, and it's heavily edited, but you'll get the sense of what's going on. I turn from the window and begin scanning the library's massive leather-bound collection until I decide on the House of Mirth. I'm about to sit at a small table near one of the stained glass windows when a man the size of a troll walks inside. He's built like a wrestler and wears a silver suit that strains against his Popeye-like biceps. His chest bubbles out from his shirt like a growth. He looks, in fact, like a baby shark standing on its dorsal fins. He runs his tongue over his upper lip while staring at me. You are lovely. And you, I say, waving my hand at the alcohol-induced stench rising between us, are drunk. No shame in it. I'm here to celebrate, after all. Name Selwyn, and you are? About to read my book, if you don't mind. So you going to tell me your name or what? Why should I? Come on, baby, you look like you could use a little fun. And trust me, Selwyn P. Jones is a whole lot of fun. Ow! How drunk are you? You like James Brown? I love James Brown. Check this out. He kicks his leg and jumps into a furious spin. Ow, he yelps. Hit me. Soon, I'm smiling. Good gracious me, look at that smile. Baby, you've got a 500 kilowatt smile. Come on, baby, what do you say? Let's spend some time together. Okay, sure. But when I tell you it's time to leave, you leave. I go for the bottle of scotch on the table, leaving him with a dumbfounded expression hanging off his face. 4 years ago, during my short stint in therapy, my therapist told me that my drinking and sleeping around served as nothing more than band-aids that would only cause deeper pain in the long run. She added that my wounds ran deep and were crying out for my attention. I dumped her soon after, telling myself that I couldn't take another second of her banal metaphors. Deep down, though, I know she must have been right on some level. I'm not an idiot, after all, and know perfectly well I'm acting out. What I don't know is how to make myself stop. Or even if there's a point to stopping.
It's the voice of Renee Swindell reading from Shake Down the Stars. Beautiful. And I mean, it just rolls from there. I think what I love about your book is you kind of kick it into gear and you just keep revving it up the whole time.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful read. And what do you hope that people take from it?
You know, self-compassion. Learning to love ourselves. That's, that doesn't sound cheesy, but actually, yeah. I looked at someone's blog last night, and there's a discussion going about my novel. It's really kind of cool because two women said, "Oh, I've been avoiding that book because it seems so depressing." And then a woman, thank goodness, responded, "No, you know, sometimes you're laughing and crying at the same time," which I think is pretty great. But Piper has so much sort of self-hatred and guilt, and I love her journey. I think, you know, it's like a book about compassion in a way, I think. And I really hope that doesn't sound too cheesy.
Not at all.
It's hard to talk about your book, your own book.
Totally. And so we'll talk about you then. Once I heard an author say that you have to become a different person to finish a novel, who did you have to become to finish this novel?
What does she mean?
I don't remember if it was a man or a woman, but I think that you have to change yourself in order to finish. Like when you start a novel, you're in one place, and when you finish a book, you end up somewhere else.
That's lovely. I think, like, going back to what I just said, actually, Piper's story really just taught me myself, you know, like it's about forgiveness and also finding people. If you can't find love with your family, and I'm not speaking for myself, find it elsewhere. I think she really discovers that you can find family with other people.
And if people want to, I know you're going to be doing some local events, how can they connect with you at those events and follow your blog and get your book?
Thank you. My website is reneeswindlebooks.com, and you can just Google me, I'm sure, or use a search engine and look up Renee Swindle. I'm on Facebook, Twitter.
All the elements.
And I'll be reading at Diesel Books in Oakland on Telegraph August 25th, Sunday, August 25th at 3 p.m. I'd love people to stop by.
Great. Sunday, August 25th, and that's a reading in Oakland.
Yeah.
Great. And your website one more time?
ReneeSwindleBooks.com.
Renee Swindle Books. Did somebody already have Renee Swindle?
Exactly. Some woman in Japan or somewhere. I was so pissed. Like, why do you have my name? You live in Japan somewhere.
She got it. So Renee Swindle Books. You got to put the books in there.
Yeah,
you
got to put the books.
Shake down the stars. Well, thank you so much for joining us
Thank
on
you.
Women's Magazine.
Thank you.